Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm going back to where the beach is near, the beer is dear, there's plenty of women out the crack. Walking around the corner,
second, the whistle is gone, stand, and Spider Rover is out of the champion.
By the river side, it can match the tide as it flows.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Gary Gaither and Verizon clearing out over the fence. Out in there, he's a Cotton. Jesus,
okay, we're joined by Mona McSharry.
Hi.
Hi, Mona. How are you? I was going to introduce you as a swimmer, but Olympic swimmer. How does that sound to you, Mona?
Oh, it sounds great. Couldn't be happier with that.
I'd say it was always the dream, was it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, any child getting into sport aspires to be an Olympian, and whether they make it, whether it's just a dream or they make it, you know, it's something that every kid has at the top there. And it's great that I get to fulfill that dream.
Yeah. I might go back to the start and I suppose talking about the dream. Was it always swimming for you, Mona? Or what age did you get into it?
I started learning how to swim when I was 5, but I grew up beside the sea. So even before then, I had gone on, you know, holidays to different places, and I've always spent time in the sea. So I think from when I was born, water has just always been the place that I love to have fun and I guess train as well and compete now.
Okay. And how, so you're from Grange. So what I, well, I'm presuming that was Mullaghmore and Strigia where you, would have honed your skills, maybe?
Yeah, Strigia. We're our house is set just looking out onto Strigia, and we can go down behind it and stuff and swim there in the back, which is just great. So it's lovely.
That's lovely. Ross, you used to do a bit of swimming out in Mullaghmore.
Yeah, I would have grown up in Mullaghmore now, and unfortunately, it didn't take me in the same direction as yourself. But still a pretty awesome place.
Yeah, definitely.
So when, Mona, I suppose, when did the swimming become competitive for you? Maryland and Ballyshannon is your club.
Yeah, it is. I'm now at the University of Tennessee, but before that, it was always Maryland's. I guess like before then, even learning how to swim, I competed in the community games, like a lot of young kids, and I really enjoyed competing there. And then that kind of just fed into joining the Maryland Swim Club and then competing at other competitions and working my way up and seeing that, yeah, I could move through the levels and, you know, enjoying it more. And then I kind of just got a love for it, I guess, along the way.
And is it true that you purposely went to Ballyshannon Secondary School instead of the more local Grange? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I remember being in, you know, fifth class and even fourth class and saying, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to Grange. Like it's, you know, it's a cycle away from my house and I can walk home for lunch. And then it came to sixth class and making the decision. And all of a sudden I decided that Ballyshannon was the better place to go. And I think my mum helped me with that. It probably wasn't a decision all by myself, but it definitely worked out for the better.
Yeah. So you're definitely bitten by the bug at that young age, I suppose. And
yeah.
I suppose you were aware of the commitment that was needed, because that would have been training before school, would it have been?
Yeah, no, it would have been training before school at that point and probably not after school yet, but that would have fed into it afterwards too. So it worked out a lot better.
Yeah, that's serious commitment at a young age. You had no problem with that. Obviously, you enjoyed it so much that it didn't feel like a hindrance to you or overcommitment, did it?
No, not really. I remember moving from, you know, swimming in the juniors who train in the evening and moving to the morning sessions, and it felt like it was really cool to, you know, now be a senior swimmer, because I was in the seniors swim in the morning before school, and that was really enjoyable to me. And then I always like working out in the morning and getting it done, while a majority of people are only trying to wake up and I've already done a full 2 hours swim session. It's great.
I was definitely still in the bed anyways.
It's a big commitment.
What's going on next? So secondary school and the swimming is obviously a massive part of your life, but and you mentioned you're in the University of Tennessee at the minute. So was the aim always the States, really, to further your swimming career?
Probably not when I was 12 or 13, but then looking forward, I think when I was 15, 16, I started to realize that was an option for me. And my coach, Grace, she has sisters who now live in America. And I think she kind of put that bug into my head as well and kind of showed me that was an option for me. And I'm so glad she did, because then in 2017 I started to get offers from different colleges, and I still would have been quite young at that stage, but it kind of just showed me that was where I guess from that point I kind of decided that, like, I wanted to go to America, and definitely college over there was the right decision.
You mentioned 2017 and the offers coming in. Was that before or after the Junior World Championships? You won the 100 meter breaststroke, that's right.
Yeah, that was after the World Junior Championships. They started flowing in, I guess, because...
How big was that to be a World Junior Champion? It must have been amazing.
It was amazing at the time. Like, being... Yeah, it's still amazing now, you know. I guess to be sitting there with, you know, US swimmers and Canadian swimmers, like, it's not just Europe, it's the whole world. Every country has put forth their top swimmers, and I won. So that's definitely something... Like, when you sit back and think about it, it's kind of crazy.
Sure is. Ross, anything there?
No, just one thing I wanted to kind of bring up, I suppose, just before you go into some of the more recent stuff, was Sligo the fittest family.
Ireland's
soul. Jesus, no, they became, they were. Ultimately, to go on, you have to be Sligo's fittest family first. You did your training with Sean Flannery. So I actually was just chatting to Margaret, Sean's partner, this morning. I said, look, we're interviewing Mona later on. Have you any funny stories or anything that we can bring up? And she goes, no, Ross, she's fairly driven and fairly professional. I don't have anything for you, and I don't know how it's going to blend with your style of show. So I was like, thanks, Margaret, that's fantastic.
That's funny. Yeah.
So that must have been a good experience. And you were mentored by Donico Callan, I believe, was it?
Yeah, no, that was great. And like, it kind of came by that we got the opportunity to do it, because I had to take a couple of months off of training because of an illness, and then ended up not going anywhere that summer. And so we had time free to do Ireland's Fittest Family, and it kind of worked out in my favor in the end, because I did get to do this with my family, and it was really enjoyable and something different. And, you know, I'm still competing, but in a different atmosphere, I guess. And that was really enjoyable. And we made a lot of friends and met other people, which is also great. And I love that about sport in general, is that you meet people from other places that you wouldn't meet otherwise.
Yeah, it must have been cool to just spend so much time with your family, because I suppose you'd be on the road quite a bit now and away from home. So as you said, it was a really good opportunity to get that time in and just do something really unique like that.
Yeah, definitely. And we all love to train and work out together. And I think that's, you know, that's something that we enjoy doing. And because of Ireland's Fittest Family, we did it a lot more with Sean Flannery. And that was also really nice.
Yeah, awesome. The show was going from strength to strength. It's very popular. So well done putting Sligo on the map again in a different sporting way. They must think that we're mighty stuff here in the Northwest.
how is college in the US? I suppose you haven't sampled college life in Ireland, but is it all we see in the movies? Is it frat parties and stuff like that? Or are you just concentrating
it's
on
definitely,
your...
definitely... Yeah, it's interesting because of, like, what you anticipated to be, I guess, from movies and stuff. And I feel like COVID kind of affected that a little bit. Of course, it's definitely not all parties. We do a lot of training, and we do get to have some fun too. But
you can tell us if you can tell us Mona for his parties. We're not going to. We're cool guys.
But yeah, no, it's great. It's everything I hoped it would be and more. And, you know, that's partly because of the team I'm with. I know that not every college is the same, but where I base myself, I just love it. And I know I'm going to enjoy the next 4+ years there.
What's the American football and the basketball scene like there? Is like what the college teams are quite big?
Yeah, definitely. I haven't been to a football game this season because of COVID, but I did go to a basketball game, and that was very enjoyable. And I lived in, where I live this year, the dorms is where a lot of the football players and basketball players live. And I guess that was strange as well, walking around with guys that were then going to go and play football on the team. And, you know, we got to watch them train a bit too. And it's a bit strange, I guess, as well.
Yeah, yeah. And just, you said basketball, American football there. No, I don't think American football was one of your other sports growing up. But was there any other sports that you did dabble with growing up?
Not really. You know, I've been pretty strictly a swimmer my whole life. I did a bit of running, but it was more to like feed for swimming. It wouldn't have been specifically for running. I've never been someone that's good at like hand-eye coordination, so all those ball sports were pretty much out the door for me. I just got hit in the face a lot. So I just got, I stuck with the swimming and yeah, a bit of running, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, Mona, I might move on to, well, I suppose the Olympics. You mentioned COVID, so obviously the Olympics is postponed from last year. But what was it on your radar last year to try and aim to qualify for the 2020, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I finished secondary school in 2019 and decided to take a year out before the Olympics to just train solely, because I was worried that if I moved to Tennessee then I'd have to do a lot of adaption, and you know, it can go one of two ways. It can go really well, or it can take you a bit longer to adapt to a new style of training and a new home, I guess, as well. That was my original plan. Of course, when COVID happened and everything was postponed, I said to hell with it, I'm going to go to Tennessee and see how it goes. And it worked in my favor, but yeah, it was always on the charts for me.
Yeah, I was going to say probably did work in your favor. Another you're older, wiser, and stronger, I suppose, maybe.
Yeah. But,
so back in April, you done it, you qualified. How was that? It feels a bit surreal to me, Ross, like that you're 20 and you're going to the Olympics. Like, it was...
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a bit strange. Honestly, when I did it, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, it's done. What's next kind of feeling, which is terrible, and I'm guilty of doing it all the time, you know, even winning medals or, you know, swimming a fast time that you've been striving for so long, and then the athlete in me is like, okay, well, we've done that, what's the next goal? And I think that's the way it was with the Olympics. I had pictured it so many times, like swimming the perfect race and winning and getting the FINA A standard, that when I did it, it was almost like I knew I was going to do it anyway, so it just happened. But at the same time, like thinking about it now and imagining that I am going to go to the Olympics is amazing. And you know, it's something that not too many people get the opportunity to do, and I'm blessed that, you know, the hard work has paid off and gotten me there.
It's funny you say that you've done it and then you're thinking, right, what's next? Because I was reading, I think it was about Pep Guardiola, the Man City manager, who won the league last week, and half an hour later they say, right, next year. So it's obviously something in athletes and top level professionals.
I remember listening to it, there was another podcast I was listening to last week, and they're talking about
not as good as ours,
but they're talking about a rugby player getting his first cap, and they're just saying, you know, listen, it's going to be such a blur, but like, you really 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 need to drink these moments in, like, you know, you work so hard, and it was this fella giving advice to these fellas coming into the game. I was like, you probably might feel that you're nearly embarrassed to celebrate these moments, because you know you're obviously so humble, but just the big thing was like, really appreciate those moments because they are so special. So me and Adrian are telling you to appreciate the moments, Mona.
Yeah.
Nice muscle, old guys.
Muscle Olympians. as well, how crazy it was, right? How surreal it is, right? I'm in the Olympics. And then a few weeks later, another fellow from Grange qualifies for the Olympics.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely madness. Like, yeah.
I know, it's great. There's something in the water in Grange, I'm telling you.
Absolutely brilliant, yeah. It's crazy. But so what is the plan from now until the Olympics? What's it, 8 weeks away, or less than 8 weeks, is it?
No, it's more.
Sorry.
Oh no, it is about, yeah, no, it would be about 8 weeks, I guess. Yeah. That sounds crazy. A month and a half sounds longer than 8 weeks.
Do you go to Tokyo early? Is there any
what's the plan?
Well, for me, there's about a month and a half. There's about 8 weeks from now until we, I guess, head out to Tokyo. We'll probably fly out around the second week of July and then do a 2-week training camp about 3 hours away from the actual village. And then we're only allowed to fly into the village drive into the village 2 days before we race.
Like Olympic Village.
And then the minute you're done competing, you have to be out of there. So it's going to be very closed shop. It's definitely not going to be like the other Olympics. Yeah. But, you know, before that, I'm hoping to go back to America and do a good month and a half of training. And then just, be prepared to race fast.
And is there any kind of cool perks since you've qualified? I'm wondering, like, is there like any in Olympic secrets that only the athletes know about, and you get like special gift packs or things?
I have not heard of anything.
A nice coffee cup with your name on it.
Will you get the Olympic tattoo? Well, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, that's for sure. I'll get it when I get back. Got to go first and then I'll get it.
This week you're in Budapest.
Yes.
How's that been? You qualified for the final on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Was it?
It was really good. I only did I swam a relay on Monday and then the 100 breaststroke, and I have one more relay, and we're hoping that this relay might be able to qualify for the Olympics. So that would be really exciting. But yeah, the 100 breaststroke went really well. I swam the heat semis and finals and they were all 106s, which is a time that, you know, if you'd told me a couple of months ago I was going to swim once, let alone three times within the space of, you know, just over 24 hours, I would have been over the moon. So I'm really happy with my performance, and, you know, to finish seventh in Europe is exciting for the Olympics too. You know, just shows that, it just gives me a bit of confidence, I guess.
Definitely is. Yeah.
Who would be your idols in sports? Any Olympic idols or?
They change all the time. It's weird because like some people I look up to and then they become my competitors, and of course I still look up to them, but it's a bit more difficult then. But I definitely look up to the likes of Lily King, who's the world record holder in the 100 breaststroke at the moment, and I'll be racing against her at the Olympics. You know, she's doing amazing. But I think one that's always kind of stood out to me is Katie Taylor. I've just always loved her and admired her, I was a really young age. I don't know, I guess, you know, she's Irish and she does really well at what she does and she loves to work hard, and I can really like relate to that, I guess. So that's probably one that's kind of stood throughout.
Well, Mona, I think you're our Katie Taylor here in Sligo. I'm a bit jealous of you, but oh, look, that's great, Mona. Any else, Ross?
No, look, we said we'd just keep you for 10 minutes. I think we've kept you a bit more, but look,
that's
amazing.
No,
and you're obviously you're only getting started is what it feels like. And best of luck in the coming 8 weeks.
We're big supporters. We're on the bandwagon now. friend of the pod, Olympian, Mona McSharry, thank you very much.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. Oh, the beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the
final second, the whistle is gone, and Sligo Rovers are the champions.
By the riverside,
I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for us.
Gary Guide and the Ride is playing out over the fence. Out in the field of Cotton. Jesus,
in the bookie shop, I don't know.